Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John chapter number 19 this morning. John 19.
God's good, preacher.
All the time. Number 19. Look at verse 14. John 19. Answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him. We thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the account of what happened that day and the days to follow. God, thank you that we know that in the end there's victory. God, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for the power that you displayed that day to be able to take all the sin of mankind upon your shoulders, to pay for our sin, and then yet 3 days later, raise from the dead in complete and total victory. Lord, it gives us hope. It gives us joy. Lord, I pray that you bless the service here today. Thank you again for an opportunity to be able to sing about it. Lord, I pray that as your Holy Spirit works in our heart now, that we'd be open and receptive to your leading. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It starts off pretty dismal. Christ, the Savior of the world, has been betrayed. He's been denied by his best friend. He's been mocked and beaten. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 52... chapter right before our Sunday school lesson, that his look was so marred that he wasn't even recognized as a man anymore. He was spit upon. And then the Bible says this in verse 16, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified." The Bible says they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Not only was he betrayed, not only was he denied, not only was he mocked, not only was he beaten, not only was a crown of thorns put upon his head, but then they crucified him. It was blasphemy. He called himself God. We jump over to verse 25. As he's on the cross, can you imagine this? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. If there's anybody you didn't want to come by that day, it would have been your mom. You're in the worst place you've ever been. Naked, hanging on the cross. If you have children, you understand seeing hurt to your own child, you would gladly take it in exchange. Hudson's homesick today, and he's, laying in bed. He's pitiful. It's sad. It's dumb. He's sitting there. He's just laying under covers, and we're catering to his every, "What can we get you? Can we get you some water? Can I get you some tea? Do you need ice cream? What do you need, No, Dad, no." Yeah, yeah. Sad, feel his head, he's warm. We just tuck him in and just hope he sleeps it off. Imagine Mary, the mother of, here, the mother of Christ walking by. There she is, she's led to the cross. She's standing there looking up at her own son, naked on the cross, no longer even looks like him. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciple, and the disciple standing by whom he loved. He saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Almost as if he had announced himself with his own words, because he was unrecognizable. Then saith he to the disciple, this is John, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Knew he was going to die, knew he was going to leave a mother alone. Obviously, it looks as if Joseph is already gone. Verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture should be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Then went out a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put hyssop, put it in his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Could you imagine the scenario? Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine what was going through the disciples' heads? There's no possible way people in the town, in the area, in the region, person of that day in Jesus. There's no possible way he couldn't have. If there was a man that was walking through the streets who had the ability to heal and who had the ability to forgive and cast out and do all of those things and touch, and the Bible tells us that the books could not contain all the things he did those number of years. Some way, somehow, every single person had been touched by Christ. Everyone would want to hear him preach. Everyone will want to see him. Whether they hated him or loved him, everybody somehow had some interaction with Christ that day. And all the miracles and all the teachings and all those things, and now there he lay. I know what we saw and I know what we heard, but look at what we're looking at now. John comes home that day with a new person in his house because his best friend's dying on the cross. It does not look good. It was hopeless at this point. Think about our world without Christ. The physical, emotional, social abuse that's going on these days, it's sad. The things that you hear about it, I don't know if you watch news or look at news or whatever it is, somehow maybe you turn on Fox News or just open up the website and you just scroll through, mother of this, does this, and it's like, how backwards are we? Substance abuse, out of control, depression, real. I'm a very positive person, so to understand depression is difficult for me. Hopeless. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. we can travel back in time 2,000 years ago, hey, without Christ, Christ dying on the cross, it looked like all was lost. The dismal outlook, betrayed, denied, mocked, beaten, spit upon, marred, dying. And here we walk through the streets and drive down the roads of our life, and what do we see? We see just the effects of sin, abuse, suicide, substance abuse, depression, hopelessness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Hey, if we're looking to the world for the best that the world can offer, our torment and our trials and our needs, you know what we're going to end up? Most miserable. Proverbs chapter number 14. Maybe you might be sitting here this morning and saying, I don't really need the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says this, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, listen now, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm gonna try my best at what this world has to offer. I'm going to turn to the world for its answers. You're going to end up in trouble. You're going to end up hopeless. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17 says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I'm going to go see that the best that this world has to offer. Can I tell you, you're going to end up empty. The best that this world had to offer is going to leave you wanting. Luke chapter number 12. Years ago when the boys were young, I've told you the story before, we were in the store, I think it was Walmart or something to that effect, we were walking up and down the aisles, someone had given my children some spending money, maybe it was even Target, every year they seem to get Target gift cards from my uncle, and there they were, trying to figure out how they could spend this $15. Walking up and down, examining every toy, trying to make a wise purchase, and they came to me, they put their money together, and they had this great idea. Spy equipment. Dad, check this out. Look at this. It sets off an alarm. You can see at night. Night vision goggles, combo pack, $30. I said, sons, boys, do not waste your money on that. No, Dad, look at what it says. Yeah, let me show you what it says. See that made in China part? Listen, you're getting what you're paying for. No, this is what we want. Okay. All right. Go ahead and buy it. They were all excited, opening the packages on the way home, examining things, rigging their room up, tempting my daughters to come in to trip the trap, only to come to me a number of moments later. Dad, this doesn't work. I know they were young boys, and not to make fun, but we've all done it. And maybe you've put everything you had into what the world had to say. And at the end of the day, you come and you're like, this did not work. This isn't what I thought I bought into. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, take heed. Hey, who likes to be lied to? Nobody. Maybe you're sitting here this morning going, I've been sold a bill of goods and it didn't come in how I thought. I just bought spy equipment from Target for the last 30 years of my life. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life it consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You thought you were going to satisfy your life by things, only to find out those things did not satisfy that need. Lord, God and His perfect way of creation, He made ecosystems to work, and the sun and the moon and the stars and the tides and the animals and the bacteria all to work together. And He created you with something inside that says, I need God. I am missing a relationship, and it can only be had between you and God Himself. And we try, we look at things, we look at pleasures, only to come out at the end wanting. See, that's my life. I feel like if I could travel back 2,000 years ago, my life is hopeless and dismal. Everything I had is dying. Well, I'm here to tell you some good news. Matthew chapter number 28. Yes, all of those things we read in the book of John were true. Yes, He was denied. Yes, He was betrayed. Yes, He was mocked. Yes, Christ was beaten beyond even recognition of His own mother. Spit upon. Beaten with a rod, crown of thorns, nailed to the cross. Matthew chapter 28. Buried, died, was buried, and at the darkest moment, day one, day two, here it is now, day three. The morning of the next day, verse 28. In the end of the Sabbath, chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, approximately 6 o'clock in the morning, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Could you imagine that view? There, it's just cracking morning. You've seen it. The ladies have been walking now, so maybe their eyes have adjusted. It was enough sunlight to see, and they noticed something different. A glow, if you will, because the Bible says this. There, upon the stone, He sat upon it, almost, mocking it. His countenance was like lightning. And His raiment white as snow. And for fear of Him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. There those that were responsible for guarding the prison door passed out for fear. Why? Because there was an angelic being seated on a stone that took a number of grown men to move. I love when the Lord just humbles people. The strongest of the Roman Empire passed out for fear. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Look at verse 6. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. And then look at this. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead, and behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed from the sepulcher. Look at these next two words. With fear and great joy. What started off as dismal, hopeless, without, they walked away from seeing the empty tomb. And how did they leave? With great joy. Our theme this year is rejoicing in hope. Well, rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoicing in hope was a number of years ago. Rejoice in the Lord always. And here, what did they do? They came to that empty tomb and they walked away with great joy. They actually ran and did run to bring the disciples' word, it says. They left with great joy. Why? Because the defeat of sin, The cross brought victory over our sin. The payment was paid in full. Man, we had an account. Oh, it was long. There you are, walking through. I was going to say Walmart, but if you shop at Wegmans, you understand this. You walk up into Wegmans and you get just what you need. And you put it in that cart and you're walking. And then that 17-year-old boy starts scanning your stuff. Beep, 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 beep. And you're watching that number go up and up and up. And then you're starting to look like, do we really need that? Do we need all that? Like, why aren't we buying off-brand stuff? And why are we... Hey, what do you think your sin account looked like to the Lord? Paid in full. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Rejoicing in the resurrection. Why do we rejoice in the fact that Christ rose from the dead? Number one, it brings great joy. Why? Because there was a defeat of sin. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross is what saved us. The cross is what saved us from the penalty of our sin. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 55. It says this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Hey, the cost of sin is what? Death. And Christ says, I'll pay for it. I'll die so you don't have to. That's a good deal. That's like, load up the cart and I'll just pay for it in full. That's exactly what he did. He paid for our sin. That's why they walked away with great joy. And the Bible says, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the defeat of sin, but the defeat of death. So he pays for our sin on the cross. They lay him in the tomb. Then 3 days later, they go to the tomb and he's gone. Say, someone must have stolen him. He did. He wasn't stolen. He rose from the dead. Romans chapter 6. Go there. Romans chapter 6. So you look at a lot of verses. Can't you just tell us what it means? Well, it's good for you to see it. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the defeat of death, you know what he offered us? Eternal life. Eternal life. Say, how long? What's the expiration date on eternal life? Think about what you just asked there. It's eternal. The cross gave us the victory over our sin. The resurrection gave us eternal life, victory over death. He beat what we could never. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Rejoicing in the resurrection, they left with great joy. Why? Because death had been defeated, sin had been defeated. John chapter number 5, in verse 42, it says this. In John chapter 5 and verse, maybe it's, hold on, wait, John chapter 15, sorry. The Lord offers something here. The Lord has something to offer. If we look at verse 15, it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. He offered something here. He offers a unity with him, a relationship with him that will last for eternity, because that's what eternal life is. See, death could not hold him. There was no chain. There was no cross. You know, sometimes we go to people's house and it has like this big sign on it, beware of dog. And it's like, oh, okay. And get nervous, and you knock on the door, and you're not the, no, it's like the roof, roof, and it's like pounding on the door. It's like, oh man, that's big on the other side. His neck's going to be as big as my thigh. This is not good. And you look over here, and there's this like this little rope that holds him. I'm like, oh, this is not good. Hey, what kind of rope would have to, what kind of chain would have to hold the Lord Jesus? Nothing could hold him down. Nothing could hold him back. No chain, no cross, no cell, no prison, no hospital, no grave. He had victory over all of that. We have something to rejoice over. The defeat of sin and the defeat of death. It brought great joy, but it also brought life. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 25. It says this, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is when we're talking about Lazarus, but he reveals something about himself. This is John chapter 11. He's not dead yet, but he says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. God offers us something that nobody else could. Life. Life. You know, the Bible tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Our sin is what causes all the trouble in our life. Hey, just go back through memory lane for a moment and look at the biggest problems of your life. It wasn't anybody else, it was your sin. And you know, the Lord has a way to set us free from that, give us a life. Look at this, in verse 26, it says this, in John chapter 11, verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's eternal life. He doesn't just have a good life on this side, but he's promised something on the next. Eternal life. So how do I get that? What is the cost? Hold on, I have a blank check. I will tell you, I'm sorry, it's not for sale. Amazon must have it. Amazon's got everything. No, not salvation. That comes from one, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and believeth in me. I'm going to ask you this morning, in verse 26, believest thou this? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Do you believe that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, there's a consequence to your sin, and that's hell, eternity. But Jesus Christ paid for your sin on the cross, rose again the third day, had victory over death, and now offers you eternal life. Believest thou this? Christ has eternal life to offer. There's no life outside of Christ. Not only that, look at this. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Just two more thoughts. You've been patient. Maybe you're not used to sitting through service. I appreciate it. Maybe you're trying to process all this. You're saying some ways that you don't normally sing. Maybe you don't normally sing anything. You just listen to music, or maybe you sing along in the shower with something, whatever it is. But you sang some songs. Now you've been in the scriptures a little bit. See, I'm getting a little antsy. All right, we're almost done. But the difference between teaching and preaching is this, and I'll just tell you. It's taking a thought from the scriptures and transferring it over to you. So I'm going to ask you in a few moments again, do you believe thou this? What are you going to do with Jesus today? 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Not only does he offer joy, not only does he offer life, but he offers something that nobody else can, hope. In this world without Christ, can I remind you again of the suicide rates and the substance abuse and the widespread depression? We're talking like six-year-olds that are in therapy because of depression. How is that? Because parents have no hope to offer. They have no answers. But Christ says this. Christ is our hope. I've got myself in a world of trouble without Christ. Well, I'm glad you acknowledge that. Why don't you come to him now? He offers hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 14. It says this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hey, there's something to look forward to. It's good to know that this world is not the end. Man, imagine if this was the best. Oh. I mean, that's nice and all. I like hamburgers and cheeseburgers and steak, Brother Bauman. But there's something so much better on the other side. This world is cursed by sin. Could you imagine a place where there has no curse of sin? There's no more tears. They sang about it. There's no more hurt. There's no more death. No more cancer. No more abuse. No more suicide. No more depression. Say, how could you offer? I have nothing to offer. God has offered that. For if we believe. Christ paid for it all. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's available. The question is, will you take the gift? I think I was talking to Judah this morning, right? Judah is your little one? Jude. April 9th was his birthday. I asked him. He was a little, April 9th. Birthdays are wonderful because you get gifts. You really did nothing to be born. You should be celebrating the parents, the years that they've, the heartache and the toil and the, anyways. But we get people gifts, and what do you have to do? Just take it. It's already been paid for. That's what salvation is. It's a gift. Why do you just got to take it? Believest thou this? For if we believe. No, everyone's good enough. God will just give us all a pat. No, that's not what it says. For if we believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hey, we have a promise to see some of those later. Not only does he give us hope, but lastly, Romans chapter number 6. He gives us freedom and victory. Romans chapter number 6 and verse 5. Romans 6 and verse 5. Why did they walk away with, why did they run away with great joy? Because the resurrection brings life, it brings hope, and it brings victory. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. God, through Jesus Christ, gave us an ability, a freedom from that chain of sin, to break that chain. I couldn't break it myself. I was bound to my sin. And the Lord came with bolt cutters and just went, snap, and said, you're free to go. Freedom from it. And if you've lived in this world at any length of time and suffered the consequences of your sin, and then you're bound to that thing, this is the greatest offer you could ever have. Set free and given victory. You don't have to serve sin anymore because of what Jesus Christ went through. I'd like you to turn back to John chapter number 11, and we'll be done. John chapter number 11. In the world, it's hopeless, I'll tell you. There's nothing it has to offer. It's going to give you its best, and at the end of the day, at the end of a lifetime, you're going to get to the end and go, this is it. You're going to work, and you're going to toil, and you're going to go after things and that the world says, here's what you need, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to experience, and you're going to get all that and go, this isn't, I'm still left wanting. Once again, because the Lord put something inside of each of us that only He can fill. A void that's about cross-shaped size that only He can pay for. In John chapter number 11 and verse 25 again, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm going to get to heaven my own way. There's only one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. For whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And I'm going to ask you again, as I told you, believest thou this? I'm going to ask you a very serious question just for a second, but I want you to really think about this. If you were to die today, and we don't want that for anybody, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? I'm going to ask it again just so it sinks in a little bit. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? If your answer is something like, I don't know, or I hope, I think, I'm not that bad of a person. I mean, sure. If you're depending on your good works to get you into heaven, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not good enough. Nobody is good enough to go to heaven. Say, what do I need? You need to, number one, admit that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior. If you could go to heaven on your own, then why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? He died on the cross to pay for your sin. And if you could admit that you're a sinner and believe that His blood is good enough to take away your sin and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, what do I have to do? Do I have to sign up for classes? How much does it cost? No cost, no classes. Just sincerity and truth in your heart. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask this, nobody looking around, just so I can pray for you. Say, Pastor, I heard the things that you had to say. I've even known some of these things, but like when you asked that question, believest thou this? Or you asked me that question, if I were to die today, where would you spend eternity? I'm sorry to say, I just don't know. Would you please pray for me? Anybody like that here this morning, can you just raise your hand if that's you? No one's looking around, it's just you and me. Say, I don't know. I don't know. All right. I'm going to ask another question. How many of you, without a shadow of a doubt, know by the blood of Jesus Christ, because you've put your faith completely in trust and trust in Jesus alone to save you from your sins, I know that I have the promise of eternal life. I'd like to raise my hand and testify. I know that for sure, 100%, no doubt in my mind. All right. We talked about some serious things here today. See, why do we celebrate the resurrection? Because look at all it did. It pays for our sin. It gives us the hope of eternal life. It gives us real hope and victory from our sin. I'm going to ask in your seat this morning, not making you come forward, but maybe you could pray something like this. Maybe you could follow me in your heart and pray this prayer. Hey, it's not just a written set of words, but the Bible says this in Romans chapter 10. It says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not me just telling you what to say, but you truly believe it inside your heart. Maybe you could say something like this, and in your heart, and maybe even outspoken right here now, you want to say, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And because of my sin, I know I deserve hell. But I believe with all my heart that you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Lord, forgive me. Save me. thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed something like that here this morning, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Could you, with uplifted hand, just say, I prayed that this morning. Anybody like that? All right. If you would like to talk about these things, I would love to sit down and talk with you and go over this. Maybe you have some questions. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a child of God. You know, you when it was time to raise your hand and say, I know for sure where I'm going to spend eternity. You just want to thank God today. Hey, let's make sure that we use today to rejoice in the resurrection. The world's trying to steal what this day is all about. It does that. Does it at Christmas time? It does it at this time too. It's about Christ. And maybe getting together with your family to celebrate that, there's nothing wrong with that. Make sure somewhere throughout this day, sometime throughout in your mind, you thank the Lord for dying on the cross for you. He did it for you. No, he did it for the whole world. Yeah, he did it for the whole world, but he did it for you too, specifically. Let's get our hymnal out this morning.